Life family, welcome to church this weekend. We are so glad that you are here. And I wanted to do a shout out to all of our seniors out there and their parents. And we just wanted to tell you how proud we are of you. And we know the next few weeks you'll get ready to graduate, and it isn't at all as you had been dreaming about your whole life. But we wanted you to know that this does not define you, and God has huge plans for you. So again, congratulations. And I just thought this would be a great time to shout out if you're on our Facebook or YouTube. Let us know, what year did you graduate and from what school? So I am Morro Bay High School, class of 1987. Any pirates out there? So we hope that you're doing really well this week. So are you ready to worship? I know that I am. So take a moment to fill up your coffee cups and just get ready to worship our King.
Welcome to church, New Life family. We're so glad that you're watching, you're gathering with us, wherever that might be happening. We just want to join in worship together and sing praises to our Lord, for He is worthy. Let's sing Greater You, Lord, together.
So we pour out our praise. The sound of tribals rattling. singing, oh, Christ be magnified. Just let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Singing, oh, Christ be magnified. The altar of my life.
Ephesians 2 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And I'm curious what things in your life feel dead right now, and it could feel like a whole lot, but I want to remind you that God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. He wants to knit us together, bone to bone, and renew our lives in Christ. He did it with me, and he can do it with you. So right now, just give him your longings, your pain, your hopes, and your dreams, and allow him to restore you today.
My longing.
Sing that chorus one more time together, church. And oh, how I love you. I bow down before you now. And God, I adore you. I worship before you. Lay my life down. So God, we pray that you would resurrect the things in our lives that have died, Lord. That you would stir us up and fill us up, God. You are able, we acknowledge today, to restore and heal and deliver. God, you are still moving, you are still working, and so we surrender our lives to you, knowing that we're putting them in good hands and that you want to raise us up and have us live fully alive in you. So do it again today, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joanna, and I'm director of First Impressions here. And my hope is that you would all feel so welcome and that you belong, because you do. If this is your first weekend with us, would you just leave a comment and let us know that you're here? Another great thing I love about New Life is how generous you all are, and it can come in different forms. I just want to thank you to those of you that have been on the encouragement team that are sending thank you cards or making phone calls, running errands. We couldn't make it through this season without you. Also, thank you to all of you who have continued to give to the pantry and continue to give through New Life that enables us just to be able to love on our community in this time. I did want to let you know that our pantry hours will be changing in June. Also, speaking of the pantry, we just wanted to let you know that we have been making burrito bags to deliver at the elementary schools, and we've been doing about 200 of those a week. And we are in need of refried beans, pinto beans, and tortillas. So if you're able to drop those off at our pantry during our hours, that would be great. We just so appreciate doing life together in this time. We did want to let you know that our prayer walk is open, and if you are looking for a place just to take a socially distanced walk, to take a breath of fresh air, and really connect with God, we invite you to come out there. Our prayer prompts are new at every station. We have a bulletin board at the end of the walk that you can leave a praise or a prayer request. We would love to have you go out there. Also, if you are a parent of a New Life kid or a volunteer on our kids' ministry team, we have a Facebook page that's just for you. You can find the link on New Life's Facebook page, and it'll lead you to that one. It's just another great place to connect. If you have not listened to Pastor David's COVID update, we invite you to do that. It is on our Facebook page. And just again, during this time, if you could just join us for prayers of wisdom and discernment. And right now, I'd love for you just to take a moment, prepare your heart as we enter week 3 of the Holy Spirit.
Hey, New Lifers. We are so glad that you have decided to worship with us once again through this online worship experience. I want to let you know about some things that are going to be happening over the next couple weeks. First of all, we are going to begin a series on the book of Acts in just 2 weeks. And so I want to encourage you even now to begin reading through the book of Acts so that you can begin listening in to what God might want to speak to you through this series. You know, over the last 10 weeks, the church has been active and present in so many awesome ways. But as we begin to gather back together, we wanted to make sure that we were laser focused in on the original intent of what it meant to be the church and who God has called us to be as his people. And so again, just wanna encourage you to join us throughout the summer as we preach through the book of Acts and we begin to again remind ourselves and discover maybe for the first time what it looks like to be the church. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this idea of the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've been examining really Jesus's kind of radical declaration in the book of John. It's interesting because for most of us, if we think about Jesus, we would be like, man, Jesus, I want you right next to me. Like if I could think about how to walk through life, I would want you walking through it right next to me. But Jesus says something counterintuitive to us. He actually begins to tell us that in order for us to be fully powered and live fully alive, that he is going to have to leave. And so what he says in the book of John is that he's going to go ascend to the right hand of the Father. And because he has left, he will send an advocate, a comforter, who we know as the Holy Spirit. And this has been fascinating to begin to teach about, because I think most of us again would say, man, I want Jesus right next to me. But the only thing better than Jesus being right next to you is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And so we've been talking about the fact that we have the God of the universe, the Spirit of God living inside of us. We talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit isn't an it or a force, that it's a person that we can have relationship with. And we also talked about the power of the Holy Spirit and how God has strengthened us in order to walk out our lives with him. And so today I want to talk about this idea of greater freedom and greater living. These ideas are connected because when we experience greater freedom, we are led to live in greater ways and to have life and life to the fullest. But I think for most of us, there's a disconnect here because we look at our lives and we see who we want to be, and there's a gap between who we want to be and who we believe God is calling us to be and what we actually do. In fact, Paul describes it as this, that he does the things that he doesn't want to do, and the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. In fact, if you've ever felt that way, if you're on one of our social media platforms where you can respond through an emoji or a comment, I just want you to simply hit that like button and just say, yeah, that's me. Me too. I've experienced that gap between who God is calling me to be and the things that I actually do. And so the question becomes, okay, how do we actually live into that? How do we live into greater freedom, and how do we live into greater living? I think we begin by understanding that it's a partnership that we have with the Holy Spirit. As I've said from the beginning, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it, he's not a force, he's a person. And because the Holy Spirit is a person, we have a partnership with the Holy Spirit. We have a partnership with God in producing the greater freedom and the greater living that we desire. But most of us get tripped up because we try to just simply work harder. And greater freedom and greater living does not come through simply just working harder. In fact, there's probably people who are listening right now who that's exactly what tripped you up. You tried harder and you worked harder, but man, you just could not experience the greater freedom and greater living that God had for you. And so what you did is at some point you said, you know what? I am just done. I give up. I can't do it. I'm going to stop trying. And I've talked to many Christians that at some point in their life kind of became a burned out Christian because they were trying to just work harder to produce the greater freedom and the greater living that they desired. But there's a second aspect that is also true, that greater freedom and greater living also don't come through passivity. Meaning we can't just sit there and say, okay, Holy Spirit, go ahead and produce in me the things that I want and then just sit there. That God is actually working in partnership with us. Again, the Holy Spirit is not a force. And so the force isn't just gonna kind of come upon you and transform your life. There is this partnership that happens between us working with God and the Spirit of God working in us to produce greater freedom and greater living. It's a relationship. There's engagement. Now I know we wish it was just a light switch. We wish we could just kind of pray a prayer and like a light switch, God would just kind of flip on this greater freedom and greater living in our life and everything would be different and better. But God actually, again, designed us for relationships, so he invites us into a transformational relationship with him. But don't get me wrong, this partnership isn't 50-50. This isn't something where, you know, God puts in his 50% and we put in our 50% and all of a sudden we're gonna produce greater freedom and greater living. God does all the heavy lifting. In fact, I remember when I was in college, I worked for my father-in-law. He was a bricklayer by trade. And so he invited me to work with him and we would drive to work. And as we were driving to work, he would utter these words. He would point to a building and say, I built that. And he'd point to another building and say, I built that. He'd point these massive skyscrapers and say, I built that. And so here I am thinking, man, I'm gonna build things. I'm gonna be able to drive around this city and build things also. But what I discovered is as a hod carrier that I didn't build anything. I prepared the materials, I got everything ready, but I never laid a single brick that entire summer. And so as I drove around and I saw buildings that we worked on, I could say I helped with that, but I couldn't say that I built it. And when it comes to our life, God invites us to participate in producing greater freedom and greater living, but it's not something that we can claim credit for because God does all the skilled building, all the hard labor, all the things that are required to actually build our life. God does. He does the heavy lifting. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because I think in this text, we discover what this partnership and transformation can look like as we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us and to set us free, that the Holy Spirit would produce greater freedom in our life and the Holy Spirit would produce greater living in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 17, says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, like a lot of Paul's letters, sometimes these words can be kind of really theologically thick and we have to kind of wade ourselves through it. So we're going to dissect this text here in a moment, but I want to kind of wrap our minds and our hearts around a couple of things before we do. One of the things that I think is important is to notice where we get stuck. When it comes to kind of this transformation, when it comes to this freedom, where do we get stuck? And Paul actually describes the places where we get stuck in two distinct ways. He describes this kind of contrast or this tension between the flesh and the spirit. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to dive into it a little bit more today. The flesh, if I can give you kind of an understanding of what the flesh is about, it's our immediate desires. It's the things that we don't want to necessarily choose, but we choose them because our impulses kind of move us in that direction. It's those moments where you don't choose what's best, you choose what is now or immediate. And so the flesh is something that's temporal. It's something that's limited. Some of the things that are in our flesh are not necessarily bad things. They could be good things, but they've been warped by sin. Oftentimes, our flesh is driven by pleasure, by our desire for what's immediate and what our impulses are driving us to. And the flesh is always in kind of battle with the spirit and our spirit desires. And your spirit desires are those things that you desire because it's who you actually want to be. They're the things that you want to want. They're the things that when you come to church and we talk about loving your neighbor as yourself, and we talk about the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you're saying, yes, I want that, man. Just pass that out to me. Give me that. But then we go right back home, and what tends to happen is our flesh desires, those immediate desires begin to supersede those other desires, those spirit desires that we have for the things of the spirit. In fact, in a very small way, many of us have experienced this as it relates to our quarantine snack struggle. I mean, if you're anything like me, you go to the store and you're trying to make healthy choices because you're thinking, man, I don't want that quarantine 15, man. I want to be able to come out of quarantine healthier than I went into quarantine. And so we buy all these nice kind of healthy snacks and things of that nature. But what always seems to happen is at some point in that shopping experience, I go by in Trader Joe's and I see those incredible dark chocolate peanut butter cups. And man, I'm like, okay, I'll just have one of these every now and then. It's no big deal. And it's really not. And I put those in my basket and then I purchase them. And then later on that night, I'm thinking about, hey, it's late at night. Let's have a good snack. And I've got apples and oranges and I got some carrots and I got all kinds of good food. And my instinct or my spirit desire is to eat those things. But you know what happens sometimes? Is that my flesh desire takes over. My immediate desire takes over and I end up walking past the carrots and past the apples and past the lettuce and I go straight beeline for those dark chocolate peanut butter cups. And I choose the thing that I want now rather than the thing that I know is best. And that's our battle. Is that we're constantly battling between our desire to walk in step with the Spirit and our immediate desires to satisfy our flesh. And really, this is where we begin to understand freedom, because freedom is not the ability to do whatever we want. Freedom is not the ability that I have to go, you know what, I want a peanut butter cup, so therefore I am going to get a peanut butter cup. Freedom is the ability to not be enslaved to those desires. The ability to say, you know what? I have the power to choose what is best rather than what is immediate. I don't have to be enslaved to peanut butter cups or fill in your blank of whatever that is. That I can have freedom and I can choose what is best for me. What those spirit desires call to me to do. And so God gives us power. He gives us power in our willpower. That's our part. Our willpower is our ability to choose what is best over and above what is now. And so here's what you need to know about willpower. It's like a muscle. It's something that needs to be exercised, and to be quite honest, for many of us, that muscle is really out of shape. Most of us haven't exercised it a lot, or we only exercise it every now and then. In fact, willpower is one of those things that we realize really quickly on that has limits to it. You know the reason why I go to the peanut butter cups late at night is because by about, 10 o'clock in the morning, my willpower starts to be depleted. And so in the morning, man, I'm eating oatmeal and I'm making all the right decisions on food and exercise and all of these things. But the later in the day it gets, the more my willpower begins to decrease, because willpower is finite and it is limited. It's probably why my parents said the same thing to me that I say to my kids. When they ask to stay out past curfew, I remind them that nothing ever good happens after 11 p.m. at night. All my bad decisions, and you can probably think back to your life and through your bad decisions, that most of my bad decisions happened after 11 p.m. at night. And it's because our willpower begins to decrease and we end up just serving the flesh and serving our immediate desires in that moment. But part of following Jesus is increasing our strength and increasing our ability to make really great choices. And so that in the moment when temptation comes, we have to prepare ourselves in advance. We have to train ourselves. We have to train and exercise that willpower in order to make those better decisions. And so you think about those moments where you find yourself and you have a particular character flaw or character trait about you that you just can't seem to get control over. And you think, man, what can I do to train in advance so that I have more willpower over this particular area of my life? And at church, a lot of times we talk about some advanced training that you can do. We talk about surrounding yourself with really good teaching, whether that's through books or preaching or getting involved in a small group. We know that the renewing of the mind and learning new practices and new habits and new ways of looking at life is going to influence that willpower to choose what is best over what is immediate. We also look at spiritual practices like prayer and fasting and reading God's word. And we begin to encourage people to embrace those. So that think about it for yourself. As you embrace those, if you are somebody who reads the Bible early in the morning, on the days where you don't embrace that practice, there's a higher likelihood that your willpower is going to be lessened. But when you have the word of God shaping your heart and shaping your mind and shaping your life, you have a tendency that when your spirit and your flesh come in conflict with one another, that you choose the way of the spirit. And a third way is through community. And we know community works. When you surround yourself with people who have your best interest in mind, and you surround yourself with people who are moving towards the rhythm and walking in the Spirit, you are more likely to walk in the rhythm of the Spirit also. And simply accountability of a community matters. Because think about it. Go back to a decision you made to kind of just serve your flesh, or some sin that it kind of keeps on taking over your life. Most of the time, those types of sins happen in isolation. Because if you were out in the church, on the church patio, or if you were gathered here and there was a bunch of believers around you, you would not choose that same decision in front of everybody. And so the community becomes a source to increase your willpower. Willpower is about saying no to what you have right in front of you that you know is not best for you, and saying yes to the desires and wants that you have to walk in the Spirit that are deep down in your bones. But again, here's the challenge. The willpower you need in order to walk like Jesus and to walk in the Spirit and experience freedom is limited. Willpower is fantastic, but it will never be enough to live like Jesus and to experience the greater freedom and the greater living that God has for you. It's great for kind of transforming small kind of little things about our life. But when it comes to our character, when it comes to things that are deeply rooted in us, when it comes to resentment, when it comes to things that are rooted in us like anger and loss of control, we need a greater power in order to conquer those, in order to walk through those and experience freedom from those. And so here's the good news, that greater freedom and greater living is a combination of your willpower and your practices and the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, as a reminder, the Holy Spirit's going to do the heavy lifting, but it's a partnership with you. And so let's revisit the text and unpack it. It says, now that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Paul in this passage is kind of using, usually when he says Lord, he's referring to Jesus, but in this particular text, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. And so where the Spirit resides, Paul's saying, there is greater freedom. There is greater living where the Spirit is active and residing. And I think it's important. Some people have asked, like, okay, David, I get it. I need to receive the Holy Spirit. But how do I receive the Holy Spirit? You receive the Holy Spirit just like you receive the forgiveness of God. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And so when you ask Jesus to come into your life and take up residency, he gives you the Holy Spirit. And then by faith, we begin recognizing and having an awareness of the Spirit. We begin to recognize that the Spirit is active and present in us, and we begin to tune our ears and tune our eyes and tune our lives to walk in step with the Spirit. And so as verse 18 continues, we read, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Again, I get it, dense text, but I think we can kind of walk our way through it. The first thing is that this reference to kind of this unveiled faces is a reference to Moses from the book of Exodus chapter 34. And so when you go to the book of Exodus chapter 34, you can read the story that Moses would go up on top of the mountaintop and he would unveil his face and the glory of God would shine upon him. And then he would go back down to the people and he would speak with authority and because they would know that he was in the presence of God. Now in that story, one of the things that you begin to realize is that the only person who could spend time in the presence of God, the only person who could behold the glory of God, the only person's face who was shining with the glory of God was Moses. But as we come to the New Testament, Paul's reminding us that it's not just Moses anymore who can spend time in the presence of God. It's not just Moses whose face can be transformed and changed by God. But it is every person who has the Spirit alive and active in them. And so after every encounter that Moses had with God, he was transformed. And after every encounter that we have with God, we can be transformed. And the way that we enter into a relationship is actually in this text as well. It says, the unveiled face says, contemplate the Lord's glory. Contemplate in the original Greek is the word for a mirror. Corinth was known for their mirrors. And so this would have been a very appropriate illustration for those original hearers to hear, that they would sit in front of a mirror and they would behold a reflection. And the reflection that they were looking at, the person that they were looking at, was not themselves, but it was the glory of God. And so one of the things that we talk about as it relates to kind of abiding in Jesus and having this relationship with the Holy Spirit are spiritual practices, things like prayer, things like fasting, things like spending time in the Word. In fact, Jesus, even in his own words, said, man, if you abide in me, then I will abide in you. And so your transformation into the image of Jesus, your ability to walk in freedom and to experience greater freedom and greater living in your life is all about the Holy Spirit's work in you. And when the Holy Spirit is active and present, it's because you are engaging the Holy Spirit in a relationship through these spiritual practices. The Holy Spirit's not a genie in the Bible. It's not like, if I do this, then the Holy Spirit's going to do this. No, it's a relationship. So I do these things to come in contact. I do these things to connect with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I spend time in prayer and I fast and I read God's word and I go on walks and I listen and I put on worship music, and I do these things in order that I might contemplate the glory of God. And as I am contemplating the glory of God, that the Holy Spirit is moving and active, and the transformation begins to happen, that he might transform me further into the image of Jesus. But I know what some of us are thinking. Okay, David, how does that transformation actually take place? Like, when does it, how does it, like, how can I identify it? Well, there's really two ways that I have witnessed that God transforms us in those particular moments. The first one is through breakthrough moments. And these are awesome and they are powerful. When we encounter God in just such a powerful way that he would just kind of like with the touch of his hand, he would transform a particular area of our life in an instant. And breakthrough moments is what so many of us are fixated on because we're like, man, that's what I want. I want immediate transformation. I want instant transformation. But the challenge is that most of the time, transformation isn't instantaneous. And when it is, it's miraculous, right? But it's not usually instantaneous. Most of the time, growth is slow and steady. But again, these breakthrough moments happen. We see it in Paul on the road to Damascus. He's walking on the road to Damascus and a light shines from heaven and it blinds him. And over a series of events in a very short period of time, Paul's life is radically transformed from one who is a persecutor of Christians to one who is going to lead people to the good news of Jesus. I've had these types of moments in my life. In fact, I remember going to a revival service when I was in college, and it was down at this church that wasn't too far from our campus, and a whole bunch of us had gone, and we were sitting there. And the power of the Holy Spirit came upon us, and I remember going down to an altar of prayer, and I remember kneeling at that prayer for I don't know how long, but I know it was at least an hour, and I remember weeping. And I remember the Holy Spirit just stirring within me. And I remember just feeling so close and connected with God as God began to reveal areas of my life that I needed to surrender to him, that I needed to let go of, and that he wanted to empower me in. And I got up from that altar of prayer, and there were certain aspects of my life that were radically transformed in that moment. In fact, I was so overjoyed that I remember we had actually driven to this particular church, but I decided to run home. Because God had done such a work in my life. I was just so overjoyed by encountering the power of the Holy Spirit in such a miraculous way that I couldn't contain it. And I knew that I had had this encounter with God. And so these moments of transformation that are breakthrough moments, they're awesome and they're beautiful. But again, I want to remind us that they also are not as common. In fact, I can only think of a couple of times in my life where I've had that type of radical transformation take place. And so I want to contrast that with the way that God works more often through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the transformation of the Holy Spirit. And that's through what I want to refer to as process moments. These are moments where things are refined and you go through a process, a season of time, and it's God is slowly and methodically and rhythmically transforming our lives. And the way that I can liken this is exactly how marriage actually works. You see, when Dana and I stood before God and our friends and our family, and we committed to love each other for better, for worse, and for in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, all those covenant language things that we said to one another, I didn't in an instant go, I do, and automatically I was great at all of those things. Like, I said I do, and I was the world's best husband. I said I do, and I always have held up my end of that covenant all the time, and I've been perfect at it, 100% awesome. I've never had a coarse word towards Dana. I've never said anything that might have hurt her. We've never gotten an argument. Just immediately we said those words and instantaneously, no, of course that's not how it happened. We committed to those words, and then we discovered day by day, slowly, moment by moment, what it looks like to live out the richness and the deepness of those particular words. It requires dying to self. It requires sacrificial love. But in the same way, That is how the Holy Spirit transforms our character. That's how the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. That's how the Holy Spirit sets us free from things that have this, kind of have their roots deeply embedded into our lives. It's day by day. It happens through not one instant moment, but a thousand ordinary moments where we learn how to abide in Jesus and he abides in us. And that is the key. That we would abide in him and we would recognize and be aware of the Holy Spirit and his presence in us. Because Jesus was very candid with us about what we can do apart from him. And he used this incredible Greek word. It is the word nothing. You can't do anything apart from me. And so he invites us into this partnership. He invites us into this relationship. And God has given us willpower in order to exert our self-discipline. But he knows that apart from him, we will never experience greater freedom and we will never experience greater living. But in these process moments, that's where we begin to see the fruit of the Spirit develop. Remember what I referred to earlier? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I know. I get it. Like when you hear those words, you're like, okay, Jesus, you just download that into my life. You just hit the upload button or the download button, whatever you gotta do, you flip the switch, whatever you need to do. And in an instant, we want to produce those things. But those things are not a list of behaviors. They are a picture of what a disciple looks like. In fact, there's not a single one of those that is a command. You're not commanded for joy, peace, patience, kindness. You're not commanded those in that particular text. In fact, the only thing that you're commanded in that particular text in Galatians 5 is to walk in spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. Because God knows if you keep in step with the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, that those fruits will be produced in us. Again, we have to ask ourselves, how will those fruits be produced? The key is spiritual practices. We have the responsibility to create the atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can do the transformation. Let me say that again. The responsibility that we have is to create the atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can do the transformation. And so again, what's the atmosphere? We come back to the spiritual practices. We come back to putting ourselves in atmospheres where teaching takes place, where community takes place, where spiritual practices like prayer and journaling and listening and singing worship songs and pressing into the presence of God take place. And there's this one more aspect that I think is so difficult for us to accept, but it's so powerful when we finally realize that this is where God does some of his best work. Being transformed, being changed by the Holy Spirit is way harder than we expect. I think for some of us, we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and we say, oh man, this is gonna be easy. Like we're just gonna kind of like, hey, we accept Jesus and he's gonna empower us. And then all these things that we don't like about us are gonna fall off. And all these things that we do like about us are gonna kind of be downloaded into our lives. And what we begin to discover is that again, there's this tension here. And we start looking at ourselves and say, man, that's who I want to be, but I'm not quite doing this. And it takes longer than we expected. And using a word that my friend Mike Pick spoke into me at one time as it relates to my relationship with my kids, I want to share it with you again as just a reminder of your relationship with God. Quality time with God takes quantity. Meaning sometimes we like look at where we want to be and who we want to be growing into as a man of God, as a woman of God. And we think, man, I will give God 15 minutes in the morning. And by the end of the week, if I do 15 minutes with God every single day for 5 days straight, man, my life will be transformed. I will be like Jesus 2.0. Like I will be ready to walk in his power. We get to the end of the week. We're frustrated. We're defeated because we don't see the transformation that we thought was gonna take place. And what we need to realize is that God transforms our life over our lifetime. And it takes a quantity of time to get to quality time. We have to allow our time to, we have to spend time with God in order to increase the quality of transformation that happens in our life. It's actually something we've learned over quarantine. As we slow down, as we simplify, as we have these conversations with God, God begins to transform our lives. And the second challenging truth is that most transformation comes through hardship and difficult seasons. Like, rarely does someone ever go, man, I went and I listened to this podcast, or I went and I read this particular passage, and in an instant, my life was transformed. Does it happen sometimes? Yes, it happens sometimes. But the majority of the time, God uses circumstances, and often difficult circumstances. No, he doesn't cause them. He uses those difficult circumstances to refine us. In fact, I have discovered that these are the moments that have the most potential for the greatest amount of transformation. In my own life, some of you heard me share before that the year 2007 was an incredibly challenging year for myself and our family. My youngest son, Xavier, had brain surgery, and he was only 2 years old. My older son had what's called Kawasaki's disease, and my wife was on bed rest at the same time. And while I look back on that season, I think, man, I do not ever want to go through a season like that again. Like, in my flesh, that's what I look at it and say. I also recognize this, that I can look at that season and I know without a shadow of a doubt that it is one of the richest, most transforming seasons in my entire life as it relates to my relationship with God. That there were things in my life that God chiseled out of me and replaced with himself, that there was empowerment that happened, that there was an inner strength that the Holy Spirit provided me in that season, that I drew closer and I experienced God in greater power in that season than maybe any other time in my life. And so often when we're looking at transformation, we're looking at difficult circumstances, rather than trying to self-medicate through those difficult circumstances, rather than trying to avoid those difficult circumstances, what if we knew that God was gonna meet us in that moment, and it was gonna be like this crucible where the Holy Spirit fire was gonna refine us in that moment? I imagine there's some people that have experienced that during this quarantine season. That this has been one of the most difficult seasons you've ever walked through. And yet for some of us who have allowed God to meet us in this difficult moment, he has refined us. He has renewed us. He has transformed us. In fact, the author of James reminds us of this. He says, my brethren, in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. That through the fires of difficult circumstances, through the fires of trials, that the Holy Spirit fire would refine us. I get it. We look at our lives sometimes and we see a particular area, and we go, man, I want to see greater transformation. I want to see greater freedom, and I want to see greater living in this particular area. And you're going, man, I have the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit transforms us in an instant, and it's great and it's powerful. But sometimes it's every single day. Getting up. Recognizing the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the freedom he offers to us to listen and to lean into him and to walk that out every single day. Because there are areas in my life that, to be quite honest, I have struggled with my entire life, but I am not struggling with them at the same level that I was 10 years ago. They don't have control over me like they did 10 years ago. They don't dictate what I do like they did 10 years ago. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not how I used to be. And God is transforming my life day by day. And it is my prayer that when I find myself at the end of my life and I'm looking back, that I am closer to the image of Christ in that moment than I am in this particular moment. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I know our heart's desire is to walk with the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit. I know for some of us, when we think about it, we think about that being instantaneous and miraculous. And God, at times, that's exactly how you work. And so God, if there is somebody who you want to touch in that particular way in this moment, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go to them and meet them right where they're at right now. But God, we also learn throughout scripture and we learn throughout the testimonies of your church that God, you also work through the power of the Holy Spirit through steady, slow growth in our lives. That there's a refining process that takes place over time. Just as sand churns over the glass down by the shore and turns it into sea glass, God, you churn over our lives and begin to refine us over a season. And we begin to recognize moment by moment that we're no longer enchained like we used to be. But God, that you are also still working on us. So may we find ourselves daily, contemplating your glory. May we find ourselves daily staring into your face through the practices of prayer, fasting, Bible reading, gathering together, so that God, you might transform and change us by the power of your Spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. As you go into the world, may you walk by the Spirit. May you listen to the Spirit so that you also may be transformed by the Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen.
Just as the stone that was rolled.